Lord, we thank you that there is no one like you. That these aren't just words that we're singing, but they are the truth that we have experienced. That in our most desperate, lonely, fearful, angry, isolated place, when we feel like everything around us is going wrong, we know that in you we find everything we need. That you are matchless. That there is no one near you. There is no one as level as you. There is no one higher than you. And in you, we find all we need. And God, we pray that whatever we are experiencing today that is consuming us and surrounding us, God, we pray that we will experience the one that there is no one like. That you will come by your Holy Spirit into every home, into every life, and you will do what only you can do and change us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for leading us so well this morning. Good morning, church. It is great to be with you. Thank you for joining us for another week of our online services. It's been nearly 6 months, which is crazy, isn't it? When we started out in March, that we would be here almost 6 months later, still meeting like this. But we are excited that over the next few weeks, we're going to be announcing that we are planning on getting some people back in this building for our Sunday services, which is really exciting. And we are really looking forward to that. And I don't know about you, but even though we've not been able to physically gather, I have really enjoyed the series and the sermons that have been throughout August and even pre-August as well, but particularly in August, as Ian has spent time unpacking and looking through the story of Nehemiah. I love the story of Nehemiah. I think it's probably one of my favorite stories, how God just takes this totally ordinary man and does something incredible. In fact, the story of Nehemiah is how God takes an average guy and takes him on a journey to lead what is probably one of the most significant rebuilds in history. We read about the incredible protection and provision that God brings into Nehemiah's life. We read about the letters that Nehemiah has that God provides for him. And it is such an incredible opportunity and story. And we started to think a little bit about this time and this season of life that we're in. And we started to think as a leadership team about how this is almost a very unique opportunity for us. It's a very unique opportunity for us as individuals, but also for us as a church. You see, we have been given an opportunity to rebuild our lives individually, but also collectively in a way that's never been done before. Never in history has there been a time in modern history where we have had 6 months to reflect and to change and to move forward into something new, to become somebody new, to become a church that is new. We have an incredibly unique opportunity that we have before us. We have this chance to stop habits, to break addictions, to change attitudes, to change the way that we think and the way that we speak and the way that we live. We have an opportunity today to make some decisions right now in this moment of our lives that will positively impact our future. That maybe today is a day that you don't like. Maybe the scenario of your life is something you are not pleased with. Well, we have an opportunity before us to make changes today that means your future and our future together will be greater than what we've ever experienced before. We have the opportunity before us to start afresh and anew post-COVID. And I want you to ponder, whilst I'm sharing with you this morning, what can we build personally and collectively today and in the future? And more than just what can we build, but what do we want to build? Let's be dreamers today. Let's be people with high ambitions, and let's decide, let's be people who say, what can we build and what do we want to build? And I don't know about you, but whenever I think about buildings, I think about some incredible buildings and architecture that is throughout our world. And I always begin to think about some TV programs that involve knocking down houses and rebuilding them. And me and Naomi recently have really got into, we've got a little bit hooked on some Netflix series that follow these real estate agents round, usually in America, and they go to these multi-million pound houses. Like, they're so big, you could fit like a small village inside of them. They are incredible. They've got tennis courts and swimming pools and cinema rooms that are bigger than our house. It's like incredible to wander around these houses from the comfort of your lounge on a rainy day and see the amazing kind of designs and the buildings that our people call home. But one of our favorites is probably what's called grand designs. And I love grand designs because the purpose behind grand designs is that right at the beginning of the show, you meet an individual or a couple or a family that have a dream of this incredible home. They have an idea that they would love to achieve, a dream that they have to see this home built. And usually by the end of the program, you catch up with them maybe a year or 2 years later, and you see whether or not their dream has become a reality. You see whether or not their budget was enough. You see whether or not they furnished it in the way they would like to. You see whether or not they have been able to achieve their dream. And I love how it's called Grand Designs. I love that name, Grand Designs. And we as a church believe that God has a grand design for our lives. That God has this incredible design and this plan for your life and your family's life and us as a church, our lives together. We don't just believe that our lives are a random mix of coincidence and luck, but actually we believe that God has designed each and every day of our lives. That there is nothing that takes place in our lives that is coincidence or chance, but actually God has ordained and purposed every single day. And I'm going to read a few verses from the Psalms. In Psalm 139, it says this: "You formed my inmost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book." You see, God is the master designer, and he has a grand design for our lives. Not one of our days are here by chance, but each and every one of them has been planned by God. He has a specific plan and a specific dream for you that only you can fulfill. And God has a specific plan for us as Riviera Life Church that he has set out for us to achieve, that no other church in no other context could do, but we are here for a reason and a purpose. So what we've decided to do is that the next few weeks in our teaching series, we've entitled it God's Grand Design. And over the next few weeks, we will be exploring how we can take steps to see God's grand design become a reality. And this morning I want to talk about from dream to design. Because every incredible building, every incredible home on these shows, even every incredible business or achievement or movement or charity originates from a dream. We can look through history and see movements and opportunities that have been incredible and things that have happened, and they usually begin with someone having a dream. Eleanor Roosevelt said these words: "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." And C.S. Lewis said this: "You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." You see, there is something incredibly powerful about a person who is purposed by a dream. I've read stories of people who have sold their homes, who have moved the other side of the world, who have abandoned family and friends, and they've left everything behind in pursuit of a dream. They've abandoned the comfort and the security of everything they've ever known in order to follow a dream. Some maybe have been called crazy. Others may be geniuses, but they're pursuing a dream. They are purposed by a dream. They work long hours. They go without. They sacrifice everything they have in pursuit of their dream. So what is your dream? What is our dream? Is our dream worth sacrificing everything for? And if your dream and if our dream became a reality today, would our world be changed or would the world be changed? Is our dream selfish or selfless? If your dream became a reality, whose world would change? And we read through scripture and history, men and women pursuing and purposed by a dream. And the truth is that I can't really think of anyone further than Joseph to talk about for a few moments. Because Joseph was a man with a dream. But his dream took him to a pit because of the jealousy and the insecurity of his brothers. A dream that sold him on the marketplace. A dream which saw him become a servant and a slave. A dream which led him to false accusation and a damaged, ruined, broken reputation. A dream which threw him in prison. Moments, days, weeks, months, years, sat in that cold, dark, damp cell, chains wrapped around him, reminding him that his freedom had been gone, all because he had a dream. But we also read at the end of his story that his dream became a reality. A dream that elevated him to a position of favor and influence throughout the land. A man who went from the pit to the palace. But he followed his dream. He was purposed by his dream. And the first thing I learn about dreams is that dreams carry challenges. See, when we follow the dream that God has placed within us, the road won't always be smooth. The road won't always be easy, but difficult seasons, difficult times, difficult days and weeks and months and years will come. Health problems will set us back. Broken relationships will set us back. Financial restrictions will come and go. But we need to be a people that carry a conviction with us that goes beyond the challenge. We need a conviction that moves beyond the challenge. We need to be people who see the potential in every problem that we face. We need to be people who don't just see the barrier in front of them, but know there is a blessing beyond whatever barrier is in front of you today. We need to push on through. Not to give up. Not to retreat. Not to run and hide from the challenges of life, but to realize we have a dream that we need to pursue. We have a dream that we need to go for, that God has called us, he has chosen us, and he has given us a dream. But I want us to look for a couple of moments at God's dream. From the beginning of time in the creation story, we read how God's desire was for relationship with humanity. That was his desire. He made everything just so he could have relationship with us. Everything you see and everything you know and everything that you experience is there built into our lives, built into creation so God could have a relationship with humanity. We read how God walked through the garden with Adam and Eve. He talked with them. He chatted to them. He walked side by side. He wanted intimacy and relationship with his creation. We then can skip through the Old Testament and see the stupidity of man as they shift from unwavering worship and adoration and obedience to total rebellion. We see how God is close to his people and they worship him and then all of a sudden they become complacent. They forget the things that he has done for them and they find themselves in the gutter. They find themselves so messed up and so ruined that they then return to God. And it only seems like a few pages. Like, what happened? How did you get it so wrong so quickly and for so long throughout history? This repeats itself. From wholehearted devotion to total rebellion. Shifting from walking with their creator, talking to their creator, to living in the gutter in total rebellion. And then we read, just 2,000 years ago, that the heartache God experienced as his creation continued to wreck their lives. The pain he felt because his dream of unity felt far away. His dream of relationship was so far away from what he was experiencing that he had to do something about it. And the something was a someone. And the someone who was the plan of God to restore unity, to bring the dream to reality, was Jesus. Jesus would walk and live this earth like the billions before him and the billions after him. Jesus walked this earth without blemish, with no imperfection. Nothing he did or said or thought was wrong or out of place. We read how Jesus was fully God. He was fully sovereign, yet he was fully man. The experience, the pain, and the emotion of humanity. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Holy One, the Most High One, the Sovereign One, the Messiah, who carried all authority within him, all authority on earth and in heaven was in him, the Sovereign One. And his dream was to have a relationship with us. His dream was to be in relationship with us. And in those moments of Jesus' life, we see that the dream of God was fulfilled. The fulfillment of the dream that God had of unity with his people was seen at the cross. Jesus hung there, beaten, bruised, battered. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was laughed at. He was nailed. And a watched crowd saw every breath that he took, every breath that would have sent excruciating pain through every nerve of his body. They watched, they gambled over his clothes and saw him hanging there. And in the last few moments of Jesus on the cross, he declared this statement that hopefully you know. And he hung on that cross and he declared that it is finished. What was finished in that moment? What was finished was the continued endless wavering man had of total rebellion and total devotion. That was finished in that moment. The power of sin and the power of hell was finished in that moment. What was finished was the heartache God had of his dream being a fantasy, and in that moment became a reality. God's dream of a relationship with us. God's dream of a relationship with me and with you. You see, to see his dream become a reality, he had to make a sacrifice. And the second thing I learn is that dreams require sacrifice. See, anything of worth and anything of value in our lives and in our future should be worth a sacrifice. How desperately do you want to see your dream become a reality? How much are you and how much am I and how much are we willing to sacrifice in order to see the dream and the purpose God has for us become a reality? Because our sacrifice determines the substance of our dreams and our future. If you want there to be depth and substance to your future, it will require great sacrifice. If you're happy with a shallow, surface-level life with not much happening, not much going on, then you don't need to sacrifice much. With Vieira Life Church, if we want our future to carry substance and depth and influence, we need to be people who sacrifice much. C.T. Studd, a British missionary in China in the late 1800s, said these words: "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him." See, every single time that we refuse to sacrifice, every single time that we say someone or something or some possession is too great to sacrifice for the dream and the plan and the call of God, we insult the cross. We rip the value out of the cross because we place things and people higher than the cross. You see, there are some addictions that we are carrying. There are some habits that we have. There are some toxic relationships that need to be sacrificed. There is some pride and some anger and some ego and some bitterness and unforgiveness and money and selfishness that we need to sacrifice in order to see the dream that God has for us and the plan and purpose God has for your life and for my life and for us as a church. It needs to be sacrificed. And until we purposely sacrifice those things, they will continue to strangle the dream God has for you. They will continue to drain the life out of every bit of purpose God has for your life. Dreams require sacrifice. A couple of years ago, myself and Naomi, my wife, we had a dream about starting our own family. The dream of becoming parents and having our own child began to fill our minds and fill our hearts, and so much so that we were willing to pay whatever price it would be to see our dream become a reality. You see, we weren't bothered about the lifestyle changes and sacrifices that would be needed to be made. We weren't bothered about the financial sacrifices. We weren't bothered about the idea of sacrificing sleep and routine. And it has been a long 9 months of sacrificed sleep. But we weren't bothered about it. We weren't bothered about sacrificing the selfishness of our future, the idea of being able to do whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted. We weren't bothered about sacrificing those things. Why? Because our dream outweighed the sacrifice. Our dream was more important than the sacrifice we needed to make. And when the dreams we have outweigh the sacrifice, you don't care about anything else until that dream becomes a reality. Church, we need to be so sold out for the dream God has for us that it doesn't matter what we have to do. It doesn't matter what we have to sacrifice. It doesn't matter what we have to leave in our past. We will do whatever it takes and go wherever we have to go in order to see the dream God has for us achieved and become a reality. Nothing can get in our way. Nothing is more important. Nothing is of equal importance other than chasing and achieving and being purposed by the dream God has for us. Nothing is more important. You only have to read throughout the Bible, and you find on countless times men and women who sold everything. They were established, they had land, they had flock, they had a comfortable life, and all of a sudden they felt the call of God and the dream of God to move, and they sold everything they had and moved to another part of their country or another part of this world in order to follow the dream. Can we be a people who have that same attitude, who have that same desire to follow the dream? How much are we willing to sacrifice? Because the dream will require sacrifice. And the bigger your dream, the bigger sacrifice that is needed. Dreams require sacrifice. And the third thing and final thing that I learn about our dreams are that our dreams require partnership. You see, in those stories and in those TV programs of those houses that are being built in grand designs, we meet these people who have a dream. We meet these people who have this idea, this sort of imagination of, this would be my dream home. This would be what it looked like. This would be the color scheme. This is the furniture I would have. And they have a dream. And at the moment when they are telling you about their dream, they're usually stood in front of a totally emptied, abandoned plot of land. And you quickly find out just a few moments later, a few weeks later in the story, that they do not have the skill set in order for the dream to become a reality. So the first thing that they do is they call the architects. And the architects come along and they look at the land and they hear the dream and they kind of say, okay, I think I'm understanding what you want. I think I'm getting the picture that you have. I think I'm beginning to understand the dream you have. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go away and I'm going to draw and I'm going to write and I'm going to put your dream into a design. And in this moment is the first moment that their dream takes a step to becoming reality. They write down the dream. And the great thing is that the world thinks that this is their idea. They think that they've come up with this great concept to write down the dream. But if we go to a book called Habakkuk, and it says this in Habakkuk 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, "What's God going to say to my questions? I'm braced for the worst. I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. I'll wait to see what God says, how he will answer my complaint." And then God answered, "Write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message, this dream, is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it feels like, if it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time." Don't allow your dream to begin and end in your mind. Don't allow your dream to begin and end in your heart. We need to write our dream down. We need to surround ourselves with people who will write our dream down, who will help us take that first step and see our dream move to design. We need to surround ourselves with people that will believe in our dream and not belittle our dream, that will stand with us in our dream when everything feels like a nightmare, when everything feels like it's falling apart. They will be there, standing with us, helping us to achieve the dream and the call God has placed on our lives. Get around and communicate your dream with people who want the best for you, who want to draw the best out of you, who want to build you up and not tear you down. Who have you surrounded yourself with? Who have you allowed to influence your dream? Maybe you had a dream long ago and you've given up on it because you surrounded yourself with people who didn't see your dream. Joseph was surrounded by his brothers who were insecure and jealous of his position in life. And all they did to his dream was to tear it down and throw him in a pit. And maybe you've sat in a pit one day in your life because you communicated your dream with the wrong person. But you know, that dream isn't over. That dream isn't dead, because if God gave it you, only he can say it ends. Only he can be the one that puts a full stop on it. Only he can be the one that changes his mind. It is not over. You just need to surround yourself with people who will believe in you and not belittle you, who will build you up, who will love you, who will encourage you, who will stand with you no matter what season of life comes. Surround yourself with those who believe in your dream and not belittle your dream. It's our choice who we surround ourselves with. Some of you need to end certain relationships. Some of you need to never go to that place again because you know that your behavior changes around those people or in that environment. You need to make a decision today. Enough's enough. It's taking my dream and belittling it, removing me from the place God has for me. And we see an example of this in the Bible. But at the beginning of creation, we see that God has formed all things. He has made all things. And he has done an incredible job, that there was nothing and just his words created life. And we see that he has created a man that is the pinnacle of his creation, his masterpiece. His greatest grand design was humanity. And he makes this man and he calls him Adam. And like we said, he walks through the garden with Adam every day. In total peace, in total joy, in total love. There is unity, there is communication, there is intimacy, there is this most unbroken, perfect relationship between God and man. Yet we read that God sees that there's something missing. And it says in Genesis 2, verses 18, it says, "The Lord said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" You see, God saw that even though Adam had total freedom, even though Adam had total authority over the land that God had placed him in, even though Adam had everything he ever needed, there was still something missing in his life, because the truth is, we have been designed and created for community. We have been made and designed and purposed to need each other. You cannot be complete on your own. You cannot achieve the dream and the plan and the purpose of God on your own. We need each other. We have been designed and created for community. We were never meant to wander through life in our own ability and our own strength, but we were made for each other, to complement each other, to help each other, to build each other up. Stop being a lone ranger. Stop isolating yourself from everyone. Stop hiding away and embrace the community. Embrace the people of God. Remove the no entry sign that you put up years ago. Get rid of it. Because there is a people, there is a family, there is a community, there is a church that wants to embrace you, that wants to love you, that wants to help you and support you. And finally, our greatest partnership is with God Himself. The psalmist writes that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And if we go through life building on our own, building in our own strength and our own ability, our effort is wasted. We will never achieve the dream. We will never achieve the design that God has for us without Him. He isn't just the dream giver. He isn't just the grand designer, but He is the master architect. He is the master builder. And He is with you every phase of the building of your life. He is with us as a church every phase of the building of our community. And I love how it writes in 1 Corinthians. And it's Paul and Apollos talking to men who have done incredible things, who have helped plant churches, who have reached the gospel into Europe, who have done outstanding things in their life and in their ministry. And this is what they say. "What do you think Paul is anyway? Or Apollos for that matter? Servants, both of us. Servants who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust our lives to our mutual master. We each carried out our servant assignment. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but it is God who makes things grow. Planting and watering are menial servant jobs at minimum wage. What makes them worth doing is the God we are serving. You happen to be God's field in which we are working." Another translation says, "For we are co-workers with God in God's service." The only way we can achieve the dream God has for our lives individually and collectively is when we focus on partnership. We need each other. We need the presence and the power of God in our lives. We need to do everything we can to work together in order to see our community and our streets and our homes transformed by the love of God. We will never impact this community on our own. We will never reach out and have the influence we dream about unless we work together with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, partnering with each other and with God. Stop trying to do everything on your own. You're tired because you've struggled through life on your own. You're tired because You're carrying the burden of the dream. You're carrying the burden of everything that goes with life on your own, and you were never intended to. You were always intended to share that burden. You were always intended to help carry someone else's burden and for someone else to carry your burden. Stop it. Drop the no entry sign. Drop the barrier. Stop keeping people at arm's length. Yeah, you've been hurt in the past. Someone broke you. Someone abused you. Someone manipulated you. Someone took advantage of your goodwill. But they're gone. And if they're not gone, you need to end that relationship. But there is a community and a people here who are at the end of a text or a phone or a coffee that want to believe in you and build you up. You have a family, you have a community, and you have a creator that wants to partner with you. We're going to pray. And in my prayer, I'm going to pray for two things. The first prayer is about those who have given up on their dream, those who have walked away from their dream. I'm going to pray that your dream is reignited, that your dream isn't at the back burner, isn't at the back of your mind, but all of a sudden it becomes all-encompassing, all-infusing to you. And I want to pray for those that are isolated, those who have created a barrier around them. That barrier will drop, and that you will welcome in those godly partnerships. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that you have a dream and a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. That no one is exempt, that no one is forgotten about, that no one is ignored, but you have a purpose for every one of us. And right now, God, I pray that you will reignite the dreams that we have forgotten about, that you will reignite the call that you have called us to, that we have neglected or we have walked away from, that you will place a dream in our heart that burns so bright and so hard that we won't be able to do anything but follow it. For those that are new to our family that maybe don't understand or sense a call or dream, God, I pray right now in these moments, wherever they are listening, you will place a dream in their heart. You will place a sense of purpose. You will place a sense of meaning on their being. And God, I pray for those that have created a barrier, those that have kept people away, those that have pushed people away, those that have ignored the embrace of others because they have been hurt in the past, they have been abused and they have been broken and they have been belittled. God, I pray that you will come and heal that broken heart. You will come and remove those abusive memories. That God, whatever is restricting them, God, that you will deal with it, that you will sort it, that you will work in it and through it, that they will become people who embrace the partnerships you have for them so that they will be able to move from a dream into design, into one day seeing the dream and the call of God on their life become a reality and become true. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.